it's just...
Yeah, I think the assumption is that there's not, like, an organization around it. Like, those props aren't super specific, and all the stuff's there is known about, and, like, there's somebody whose job it is to go in there with the lights on every day.
Yeah, and check it, yeah.
Which is... I can see where it feels reasonable, but I...
Oh, it doesn't... I don't know it's not reasonable.
But I see just, where you, the feeling comes in and the justification is like, what if,
yeah.
But I'm pretty sure those places, during the day, there's people in there. Oh, that's right. Everybody but engineering seems to get
two
warm.
Two sweater vests.
Because we get one t-shirt a year and then one hoodie every couple of years.
When they decide that we've earned it.
Yeah. But I feel like every other team gets more, like, team-centric swag.
Yeah,
like, we get the generic stuff, but, like, everyone else needs to get more, like, exclusive club.
Just needs to be, like, they just need to say I'm getting shirts.
Is it, you're like, is it Eric that does it all? Or
Eric's
is it, like, Wehrman?
Wehrman's done it. Allie used to do it.
God.
AI got a whole bunch of stuff. I was
just
very salty about
just
that.
Just be on a better team, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just too busy making all the money in the company. My mistake.
Exactly.
There's a lot of... anyway, are you recording?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
That's right.
Oh, fuck.
Can't let it be known that Kendrick makes the money.
Fuck. For the podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sid Talk.
Actually, I do. Mostly people who know me are buying all the swag. Hi, Jason and Mom. Mom bought a shirt.
I'll let you, Huddy, know that we both know Ross, so.
He doesn't listen. He doesn't count.
But he bought some stuff.
And I think I know Ross better.
So apparently you're not supposed to undo this till you need to change it.
No.
But I didn't read that on one of them, and I did it.
Funny.
So what do you guys want to talk about today?
I don't know. Whatever comes to mind. We kind of got into a thing last time. I was just editing. Last week's episode.
What did we talk about last
week? We talked about how clothes maketh the man.
Oh, I didn't really like that.
And then, like, Joe was getting really into it. And
that's true.
And then, yeah.
Did you want to keep talking about that?
No, if you didn't like it, it's fine. I was just, we didn't kind of finish. And
well, what didn't we get to?
Advancement and promotion and how it's messed up.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, I just got distracted by the headlights on that Kia.
They're weird. Huh?
Well, Kia, from my perspective, I didn't see the top headlights because there's a bar perfectly blocking it. So I just thought it had the little four ones, and it was like, what the fuck? That can't be real street legal.
So
sorry. Wow, it's like a traditional sit suck. I got distracted by a car.
That's true. That's not even. I didn't even know that was possible where we were, but it's happening. It's happening.
What happens when we use this conference room, Joe? Who's not here and probably will never be here again.
Joe is too busy thinking. Is it, do you say being pregnant if you're referring to the couple?
No, they're having the baby like right now.
Well, I mean, it's technically not out yet, so she's still pregnant.
But this is the having time. Hold on, I'll move this closer to Kevin.
Don't worry, he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I don't know why you guys rescheduled it for me.
Because you sounded so sad. You're like, from now on, I will never be coming to Sid Talk. Ever.
I did it because I would have to poke Kyle.
You're
in the cold open for this last episode. Did you know that?
Is he? What did he say?
You are the cold open.
What did he do?
I'm gonna punch you.
That's what he said.
I might punch you.
We're having a Halloween party this weekend.
Do we need to do a Halloween spook
episode? I'll tell you the story, the saga of this thing that I'm doing, and you can understand. The listeners can get an insight into my brain. So,
do they want that?
No, probably not. Okay. But they're listening to Sid Talk, so
okay.
they don't get a choice. What happened was, we said we're going to do this Halloween party at Adam and Priscilla's baby shower, and we just scheduled it. Do you guys want to talk about this rabbit?
It's a bun bun.
It's a bun bun.
It's a bun bun.
I always have
delicious,
weird,
delicious
recurring dreams about my pet rabbit escaping, and I've never had a pet rabbit.
That's
really
weird.
Weird
to wake up to.
Bunny.
Wait.
He was never here at all.
Anyway.
So we just scheduled this Halloween party, and it's kind of a ramshackle impromptu thing. We just wanted to have people over and do a Halloween party. But I got this bug in my butt to do, like, just on Saturday, to do an escape room in our basement for Halloween, like a Halloween-themed escape room.
Yeah.
And that's great. I'm into it because, like, I don't have to have that many complicated puzzles. I'm just doing it for fun. It's not, like, it's not going
to
be, like, Enigma.
I look forward to reviewing it next week.
Okay.
So fuck.
The The problem I have is that I have this aversion to, like, almost all of this Halloween prosthetic makeup costume shit.
I look forward to seeing your house for the first time.
Yeah, that's also true.
But they don't like me very much.
Basically, well, if we invited you over, you'd probably say no because you're too busy, so...
My only problem is everyone's like, hey, we're doing a thing in 20 minutes. You want to be there? It's like, no, I'm busy.
I don't know that I've ever invited you over knowing that.
It's people in general.
Yeah, everyone's that's
true. Like, I got invited to something this Saturday. It's like, no.
You mean 12 Saturdays from now? Because that's what
this is literally our triple book Saturday already, guys. Like, I got...
So, I have a really big aversion to, like, prosthetic stuff and, like, things that... Like, the smell... So, a lot of the smell of makeup and fake things...
So, what you're telling me is that you would never wear a prosthetic forehead on your real head?
No, not if I could help it, because it gross me out too much, and I'd probably start gagging and stuff like that. Okay. Because the plastic smell and all that fake stuff.
I wore a bald cap once.
Yeah.
It wasn't terribly pleasant.
I don't imagine it is.
Chelsea helped, and that probably didn't make it better.
Like the spirit gum stuff that you use for that stuff
well,
too?
Well, she actually was trying to glue it on with spirit gum remover because she didn't need a little...
Suffice to say, especially when it's around food, it gets me really bad because then I start thinking like... I start getting the taste in my mouth and I start tasting it in the food and... Yeah, it's a whole fucking deal. And also I watch a lot of horror movies, so I already am kind of fucked up in the head anyway.
Fact.
Because I like enjoy them, which apparently makes you a psycho.
Just nice.
So I got a bug in my butt to make this escape room and I was like, okay, what am I going to do for the theme, right? And the theme is, you're basically escaping a serial killer's basement, right? So he's shoved you in this room, and you're in his kill room, right?
Did you build it in your kill room?
Yeah, I did. I thought it would be the most logical spot.
So this is less of an escape room and more of
a
serial killer who is going to try to kill us.
I mean,
and we have to escape.
You guys are my friends, so you're probably
safe. So I suppose technically it is still an escape room.
It is. It's always going to be escaping. Like, you'll always be trying to get out.
It's just a little more serious.
And so the theme is, like, you're trying to escape from the serial killer's death or kill room, and you have to find, like, the gun he keeps in there because he's a cocky serial killer, and the key to get out, right? So in order to make this kill room, though, I had to start buying things from the Halloween store, like prosthetic limbs and, like,
you
fake
went
skulls
out.
And... stuff, and I have been completely immersing myself in the shit that's fucking triggering me and making me like sick, and there's so many things that are going through my head, like did I just create like a portal for a demon to come into my house because I accidentally made a kill room in my basement? What if I wake up and the prosthetics are in different places than I left them? Like, is having a kill room in your basement turn you into a serial killer? And, like, I'm going through this, like, psychological trauma of, like, doing this escape room while, like, it's not fun, but it is fun because, like, I'm hoping people enjoy it. So, yeah, that's a little insight into me, like, willing to, I guess,
you know,
fuck myself.
It's funny you mention that because they're doing a Halloween party. We're doing a Halloween party at the RMSG, same day. And some of the people are setting it up, a little bit excessively.
Okay.
Like... homemade industrial strength fog machine. Yeah, it's getting a little out of hand. But right now, they started decorating last week. And they're going to finish decorating this week and day of. And it's like, wow. Okay, so it's not like even one session. It's a... Okay.
Multiple session decoration thing?
Yeah. Multiple carloads of decor. The guy comes in from Boulder. And
is he making like a haunted house or something? Jesus.
Kind of, basically. I'm kind of scared of what it's going to look like. But what happens is we have these like... sort of faux cobweb thing hanging on that, you know, cool like arches on the way in, and so there's like ragged stuff coming down, and so you walk through that to come in, and they got some lights and shit up, and it's not like a lot, but then just having that vibe and it being October, late October, the back door, you know, that metal back door, we closed it open with a cinder block. Somebody else set it, the cinder block, at a spot where the door can rattle in the wind, and it was, I'm standing there in class facing away from the door pretending to stab somebody, and I keep hearing it rattling, and it starts freaking me out. Because it's like... So I actually had to go and move the cinder block and wedged in so it didn't rattle, because it was freaking me. It just kept bothering me having the door rattle behind me. And like any other time of the year.
It'd be fine.
Doesn't bother
me. It is the time of the year.
It is, though. It's that, and the context, and the room itself is like, great, this is going to be when someone fucking kills me. Or I get a thing, it's like, great, this is zombie apocalypse, or whatever. It's like... Never bothered me during the summer.
Yeah, in October, weeks before Halloween. Have I ever talked to you guys about my adverse fear of haunted houses? Like,
abject fear?
Yeah, abject. I mean, it's more just the fear that no one else has. No one else has ever shared this fear.
Oh, that it's real?
And no, Well, okay, there's a bunch of stuff to it, but it boils down to the fact that, like, yeah, okay. So, I refuse to go to haunted houses. And the main reason is that in my paranoid rat brain, what can happen is that I know not all haunted houses really care about the people they employ too much. Meaning that since it's a seasonal job...
You're not necessarily doing super big key background checks. You don't have a tight
group of... Yeah, you don't really need, like... I don't know what kind of people would flock to a haunted house to get hired. Like, where you're like, you know what I want to do for the season since I just got out of prison?
2 months.
Let's go work at a haunted house. So there's that. There's also the fact that I'm already averse to all this, like, Halloween shit anyway. Like, I love Halloween, but I hate the, like, fake stuff.
Yep.
Like, I almost would prefer real cobweb over fake cobweb. Or,
yeah,
like, blood, real blood makes me less squeamish than fake blood. Like, that's how weird the shit in my head is.
Continue.
Like, all that smell, the fake fog smell, the fake plastic smell, the makeup smell, it gets in my head. And I'm like, okay, so if someone were going to kill you, like, they could most likely get away with it in a haunted house. Because they just leave your body as a prop. Mm-hmm. And then they, like, leave the house and they're, like, scot-free. Like, and someone dies in a haunted house, they find it out 2 weeks later when the house closes down. Or when the smell gets up in, like, a week. And what the fuck, man? Like, it's just...
Yeah, I think the assumption is that there's not, like, an organization around it. Like, those props aren't super specific. And all the stuff there is known about. And, like, there's somebody whose job it is to go in there with the lights on every day.
Yeah, and check it, yeah.
Which is... I can see where it feels reasonable, but I...
Oh, it doesn't. I don't know. It's not reasonable.
But I see where the feeling comes in and the justification is like, what if?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure those places during the day, there's people in there cleaning it,
doing
fixing
stuff.
Shit, replacing things. Because those are, it's like a month they're open, but you put like 1,000 people a day through those things, right? Like,
that's true.
There's a lot of foot traffic. There's a lot of potential for people to barf on stuff.
And that's what I mean, though, is like the foot traffic in the peak hours is really like what I'm worried about. Because you don't. If you don't get caught within, like, the first, like, 8 hours of killing somebody, like, you can get pretty far.
Well, and,
like,
and
yeah.
Now the murder podcast starts. Welcome to my murder tower. It's where I hang out.
Murdercast.
But, most murders that are solved and most murders that happen between people who know each other.
Right? Which is why if I ever started killing people... I would start killing people I didn't know. Like,
and that's most successful serial killers that don't get caught or don't get caught for a long time.
Yeah.
Don't have a motive that tracks them down. Because at the end of the day, it's actually really hard to track down someone who's killed someone.
Yeah. If it's like very planned out and purposeful, yeah. Because
even if it's random.
Like passion kills like are usually pretty easy.
Well, passion kills are easy because if you're passionate about somebody, they probably know you. You probably know them.
Yep.
Which means there's some connection that you can go tug on, right?
Like
if you just walk up to somebody on the street, shoot them in the face, and walk away.
Especially if you have any kind of thing covering any part of your body that's discernible.
Yeah.
Like, you're...
Well, I mean, at night, if there's a random car drives by, and you just shoot them from across the fucking... Like, here.
That's like the sniper guy's crazy up. That was on I-70 for... Or I think
Yeah, there was that. And he hurt some people. I don't... Did he even kill anybody? Damaged some cars.
Yeah.
Freaks some people out.
Yeah, that would freak me out, too. That's one thing I worry about road rage, when you're like, fuck off, bro. And the guy's like, bam. And you're shit.
But that's the thing is if there's no witnesses, they have a bullet.
Yeah.
And a dead guy.
Yeah.
Shit.
And then they're like, well, we want to look for cars that have bullet holes in the window. And you're like, okay, good luck. Like, you're never going to...
Against what? There's like 600,000 people in the Front Range. Probably twice that many cars. And it's...
That's true.
So it's that whole thing. Like, when they catch killers, it's usually because you know them and there's a motive and they can find that and then they can get you and then they can find you at all, arrest you, and then convict you. Those are all three very different challenges.
Yes.
And I guess finding and arresting are that far apart, but having enough evidence to legally arrest you in addition to finding you and then pressing charges and actually making the case.
Yeah. I mean, look at like things like Dexter. Like, watch the way he...
Never have watched
it. Watch the way he kills people for people listening to it. And you'll see that it even though it's a fictional show, they're going off this idea that if you kill people you don't know, you're safer. Like, you kill people that you've observed. He observes them to be bad and he kills them because they're bad. Like, they're not related to you at all. You're just walking around trying to find victims.
Like, they found the Unabomber because they found the pattern he was following, right? Yeah. And the people he was targeting. They found, what is it? They find the serial killers because there's like a point where they can tie them all together, and then there's some evidence they can put together. And
there's also that psychological aspect, if you're so inclined to go that direction, yeah. of like FBI profilers and stuff like that. Like, it's a game. They always kind of want to be caught, but never are. They're trying to not get caught, so like they'll leave trails and
signatures.
Which is part of the other part about it,
which is why I'm not super worried about being murdered by a serial killer. Is that it's not just atypical behavior. It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
Like it's like, who really wants to just go out and murder people? It's a lot of work for not a lot of payoff.
Yeah,
and it goes against every core fundamental psychological thing that you've been inculcated with your whole life, and honestly, genetically. If you're not, like, passion killing is something that makes sense to me, like getting so enraged you kill somebody,
mm-hmm.
because that's very monkey, right? But taking all the time and calories to go kill somebody you don't know?
There's a decent amount of the really good horror movies involving serial killers have to do, like, I watched one called Bloodline the other day, and the whole premise was, he was killing people that he knew indirectly, which was a bad thing. But the motive wasn't because of he wanted to kill so much. It was punishing people who were treating their children badly.
Right.
Superhero aspect or like hero
people
syndrome.
People park in the wrong spots.
Well, I guess the weird part is that the logical line that's drawn for like a lot of the interesting films and stuff isn't like, oh, you've made me stub my toe. I'll kill you tomorrow. It's like, you're beating your kid, and I know that's wrong.
Pull your guts out.
Because you deserve it. But, like, I know that that's wrong, too, but one of those things is more wrong than the other.
Yeah, that's deontology versus
ideology
and everything.
Yeah, so... Okay, so we have 12 minutes. Okay. I was going to say, so the whole, like, you know, if you put a mask on and kill somebody, it's really hard to figure out if you don't know who they are. That leads me into... I saw The Joker yesterday.
I haven't yet.
Or Joker. I guess it's called Joker. I thought it was really cool because it's not necessary. It has almost nothing to do with superheroes at all.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're going into that trying to expect like your Batman, traditional Batman Joker, don't.
I heard it's like an interesting, like there, it's a ward bait kind of movie. Like they want to.
Ward bait?
A ward bait.
Oh, ward bait. Yeah.
Like they want.
I can see that.
Yeah. It's a vehicle to.
But like, wars. It's cool because if you think about.
Cinema, though.
It's not cinema?
It's not cinema. And it's, what is it? Despicable? Or.
What are you
saying? Francis Ford Coppola and what's his face? Martin Scorsese bitching and moaning about Marvel movies.
Oh, really?
We'll get back to that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I guess I'll say like a few things. So it does take place in Gotham, so you get that. But the cool aspects are that I totally forgot what I was going to say.
The serial killer part, putting masks on.
The Joker. It's a like heavy commentary on social health, mental health, and social like classes, which is kind of interesting. So when you come into Joker, if you are really, really, really like Joker for the fact that he doesn't have a backstory and he's like the representation of anarchy, like I think you can still like this movie.
Okay,
you just have to understand what you're trying to see, which is an origin story. Joker is still a human, and that at some point. The Joker had to become... I mean, even if he is just a force of anarchy, he's still human.
I get that. I have to admit, one of the things I do like about the Joker is that his backstory... He has a backstory, and it's consistently changing.
Yeah.
It's always nebulous, and that he basically is almost not a character so much as, like, an archetype. Like, he's a force of chaos. He kind of exists in this nebulous sort of... He's always been there, and there's always been Joker.
Of course, that's
my concept. That's not, I'm not claiming like this is dumb because it doesn't conform to that. That's just my headcanon.
The killing joke is like the one that most people take as his backstory because it's not really a backstory. It's just more like an explanation of how he got to where he was. And the thing about this movie is you kind of see Joker enjoying the stuff that a human would enjoy, but it's all like anarchy. Like he's like happy because. Something terrible happened to the society. Wow. You're like, so it's kind of cool because you're watching the development of the person he turns into. And I'm going to go as far as saying that I even think that it's a great like origin story for the Heath Ledger Joker. So like, if you take that and pop it in front of like The Dark Knight, I can see those two things being quite related without having to make too many jumps.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, I'm the one who liked BVS, so.
You Kyle-ify movies in a very...
I do. This movie was a lot harder to do that with, I think, because it's not just an action flick where you fill in story. Like,
yeah, there's actually
a lot
of
exposition.
Story. Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. But I think if you're interested in it, go check it out. I mean, it's made so much money so far. And people... It's been, like, blowing away box office records, which is kind of...
It's really blowing them, Michael.
Do you listen to yourself when you talk?
I drifted in and out.
So, like, if you're thinking about seeing it, like, go to Alamo on Sunday when tickets are $10. Go get some good food. Yeah. Watch Joker.
Gotta go watch that.
It's pretty interesting. I really would be interested to see how many people that I know actually enjoyed it.
I gotta go watch it. I gotta get Kate and I to go.
But yeah, so what were you gonna talk? You're gonna talk about Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh yeah,
Martin Scorsese.
So you heard Scorsese said that the Marvel movies, the like Endgame, isn't cinema. I think is what he said.
I didn't hear that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, he went off about how terrible they are.
Terrible? Like,
yeah,
they're objectively bad.
Yeah,
Jesus.
No, about how they're not like cinema because they don't make you feel anything. They don't follow the character. They don't teach us anything. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it's sort of like, okay, old man shouts
at cloud. Kind of thing. Spielberg like getting mad that Netflix movies are being included in like the Oscars or something.
You know what it is? It's that he's not relevant anymore, and he's mad. And then Francis Ford Coppola agreed with him and then said that he didn't go far enough and that the movies are despicable. I think is what he said.
Wow.
Yeah, because they're not like those really great movies that those guys made. I should probably know. Joe would know.
I know that the what's that one with the Irish people in the freaking
The Departed?
No, Departed is what I'm thinking of. I get it. I think I was telling Kevin earlier today before the podcast. I was like, I'm not really big on the whole like, oh, that lady in the movie dropped her baby bottle, and that represented the shattering of her childhood. And it's like, I don't like. I'd rather almost be like spoon fed. Like things sometimes then have to like
I think honestly it's just that are you about The Irishman came out and that's a Scorsese movie and it's not winning and it's not making as much money as Endgame.
Really?
I mean that's probably what
how
it is.
Could it's it like... pissy.
Well that's the thing it, so he did say Departed, Goodfellas,
he did Wolf of Wall Street.
I think that's interesting here, which I never watched. I watched part of like kind of got bored.
I heard people love it.
Yeah, I think people love it.
Like 2 nights ago.
How is it?
It's good. We've watched it a bunch of times though.
Okay.
It's like a background movie.
Yeah, see, but that's the thing.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island. That one.
Gangs of New York.
That one has a lot of Shutter Island has a lot of conjecture in the horror community because some people really like it because it's like a cult Lovecraftian movie.
Yeah.
And other people fucking think it's stupid. Like,
that's fair. I see that happen a lot. Oh. Hugo. He did Hugo, which was a very good, very badly marketed movie that also didn't know what it needed to do.
Like Treasure
Planet of Christ was him, too. Okay, so he's talking about how these movies aren't cinema. That's what Scorsese said. It's like they're fun romps, but they're more like amusement park rides than they are movies or cinema. And it's like, okay, then whatever.
I like amusement park rides most of the time.
Well, and that's the part that's like, he kind of said it, and it was sort of like, oh, he hates the movies. But then I think Robert Downey Jr. was like, yeah, I mean, sure, they're not the same as... you know, Taxi Driver or whatever. They're fun things, and but they're not necessarily great cinema.
Yeah.
And so he kind of agreed with him, but was like, yeah, but I mean, I like them.
It's like, I'm not trying to compete with, the great cinema of all time. This is a totally different thing.
Coppola, comic books aren't novels.
Yeah.
Graphic novels aren't.
Some of them are.
graphic novels aren't great American novels, right? Like, sure. But apparently Francis Ford Coppola came out and called them despicable. Which is like a whole other level. Now it's not like these aren't groundbreaking things. Now it's fuck you, and that I think is a little too far.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think. I mean, it's no U Bull movie. So like, we don't need to. We have Despicable. We have a level for it.
There's plenty of garbage out there.
Yeah,
but like Francis Ford Coppola, who's Lost in Translation, obviously The Godfather. I did not make it to The Godfather when I watched it. I was 18 and I fell asleep.
I watched the first one. I think.
Just slept through it. I rarely fall asleep in movies, and that was one I did. I'm like, this is boring. Jack by Robin Williams. I wonder if he considers that to be.
That's the one where he's like a kid or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he ages. He's a kid, but he's.
He ages fast. His body ages faster than his mind. Yeah.
That's Francis Ford Coppola. His finest, I guess.
I don't know, man.
It's just like
all those movies are movies I would watch once.
Well, that's the thing that gets me is like when people say stuff like this. And sure, he did American Graffiti and Jeepers Creepers and Sleepy Hollow.
He did Jeepers Creepers?
It's on his name here. I mean, I don't know. I'm not double checking on these.
Sleepy Hollow was good, but I thought that was a Tim Burton movie.
He might have written it.
Okay,
well, let me look. But like, what gets me is people have the gall to say like, "Well, this is not cinema," and then they've got shit like that on their.
Well, it's like what is it, cancel culture stuff? Did you hear about the whole Iowa State Register thing? So like there was a guy who did something. He like did a GoFundMe to go buy beer, and he ended up getting like $1 million or something, and he was going to give it to a charity. But some Iowa, like, state register paper guy dug up dirt on him that said he was, like, racist on Twitter when he was, like, 15. And so the internet was like, oh, really? And they got dug up stuff on the other guy who had, like, actually dropped N-bombs and, like, done some crazy stuff. And, like, it basically sent that guy into, like, a spiral because he got fired from his job. There's, like, so many things that are getting taken away from the Iowa register and all this stuff. And it was just really funny because you're like...
Don't, like, play with fire.
Yeah, don't play. The cancel culture thing is an interesting thing to me. But I think I want to talk about, for the last few minutes, that Freddie Prinze Jr. thing. Like, because we're talking about movies, I think.
Yeah.
So Freddie Prinze Jr. did a podcast that I've never heard of before. It's, like, called The Friendship Podcast or something like that. But he was talking about Star Wars. And he gets a little high and mighty on his knowledge of Star Wars, which is what it is. But he's an interesting character if you listen to that whole thing. He loves to name drop, and it's what it is. But one of the things he says is, like, at the very end of it, is art is art. Just because you liked a movie, that's great, like, cool, but someone else probably didn't like it, or vice versa. Just because someone says, this movie sucks, yeah, that's great, but, like, someone else really liked it. So you see movies, in what movies, like, your judgment of movies is based on, like, how the world's treated you and, like, how like, you've been growing through your life, right? And so, you know, there's no objectivity to, like, movie quality. Everybody, there's always a potential for someone to enjoy something, and there's always a potential for someone to hate something.
I feel like movies are the finest example of subjectivity.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Because you see what you see,
like,
and, like...
But even beyond that, it's one of the most disparate media. Like, video games still have video gamers. Like, there's still lots of people who just don't play video games.
Yeah.
But the number of people in life who don't watch movies is very small. Even Kevin, who barely ever watches movies, still watches movies.
Yeah.
Only person I know is one guy here who never watches movies. A couple guys here.
But, like, have they never seen a movie, or did they just
not watch? They just don't watch movies. But everyone else is like, yeah, I watch movies. Or, like, oh, I don't go to the cinema because I got kids or whatever. But, yeah, I watch movies. And plenty of people don't read books, for better or for worse. But movies are, just, I think, one of those great things, at least in America, where we really do have everybody watches movies. And we've got rom-coms, action movies, horror movies, culturally specific movies. You know, you've got martial arts movies, you've got whatever. But then you've also got movies that only certain ethnicities go see. Like, so there's, like, all these things exist, and there's all of that stuff together. So, like, a lot of the what do they call them, not the blaxploitation, but the when they kind of took that back, African cultural movies, and I'm like, I don't fucking get it, whatever, but they're making bank with certain subgroups.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, and I don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to. I think that, yeah, this is the most important part, is, like, something can exist without you having to like it.
Yeah. Definitely. Especially because I represent one very...
That's weird conference room stuff.
Fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Those acoustics are so weird.
It's actually a hole. There's, like, actually a space.
It is.
But yeah. You can't hear people talking.
But regardless, if you enjoy something, don't feel like you have to defend yourself. And if you don't like something, don't feel like you have to defend yourself. But if somebody asks you why you do or don't like something, like, don't be surprised. Because you can say, oh, I don't really know, I just like it. But just make sure you're ready for
questions. Yeah, I think it's not necessarily necessary. Like, necessarily necessary. But I am often disappointed in people who can't elaborate on their preferences.
I usually like to give the benefit of the doubt. If you haven't thought about it, that's one thing. Like,
sure.
If you're like, man, I really enjoyed that, but I haven't had a chance to really dive into why.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't feel comfortable articulating that. As I've learned over the years, sometimes people just don't feel like they need to say that, and that's fine. But
I think I appreciate when people
elaborate.
Yeah, especially because you're trying to get to know somebody for various reasons, and then they're like, I don't like onions. Why not? I hate onions. Okay.
Like, but why?
Can you tell me more? Is it the texture? Is it the film on it? Is it that I don't like
onions? I actually try to go to humor, yeah. Where in the doll did onions touch you?
Well, I mean, and it's like, just if I care about your preferences, then I want to know more about them. Because then I can be like, oh, well, have you tried shallots? Because, oh, I don't like the sharp taste. Well, I'll go for shallots. They're a lot milder taste.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I just don't like the texture. It's like, oh, maybe go for like a garlic, or maybe try cooking them a little more. Oh, I don't like their taste at all. Well, maybe go for...
I think some people think that's really pushy. And I can see that too, but... I do
I'm
it
just
so like
to help
I'm
people
like...
enjoy their lives more because like if, especially when you're like, oh, I don't want that, it has onions on it, you're like, let's find a way to make you enjoy this food.
You just have to be semi brain dead like Kevin and I, where like you can't really like, you don't know how to dislike things on the level that most humans dislike things.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of like get shown new things all the time and you're semi excited about it, because literally like the first time you had like coin tots the other a while ago, like last year.
Fuck yeah!
He had them for the first time, and he's like, "These are fucking amazing." I was like, "Right, like
lucky 10,000,
right?"
Nice.
So
I keep my food standards really low.
Yeah,
so everything tastes good.
Yeah, so that way,
like food.
Mm-hmm. You're like, sweet. They make
chili
that?
Today, though.
It's good.
Bomb diggity, mm-hmm. man.
Well, thanks for listening. We went over, I think.
Oh, yeah, we're at 30 minutes. So.
Nice. So this is your first 30-minute one in a while.
Yeah, good
Lots
luck.
Of good stuff.
Sorry.
See ya.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Bye.
Bye, Jason.